want you to take your prayer book. That's this book with the cross on front of it. And I want you to open it to page 794. Now, this is the psalm we said today, or sang. It's probably one of the most powerful, important psalms in the Bible, and certainly within our liturgy. Although we don't often sing it all, or sing it at all, or all of it at any time. But the interesting thing about this psalm is that it fits so perfectly with the other readings today, and with our event of being here. And it conveys to us one of the most important messages that we can ever grasp. Why are you here? Why are you in the world? Well, we believe that God created us all in some way or other. But we live most of the time with serious questions about who we are and why we're here and what it all means and how can I know. We are strangers to ourselves. You know, that's good news. It was said by one of the great writers of our age, Walker Percy, that we know more about the rings of Saturn, really, than we know about ourselves. Isn't that the truth? We know more about almost everything than we know about ourselves. We carry on this inner conversation with ourselves all the time. Do you do that? When I go home today, I will say, why did I say that? Why didn't I say that? I have this ongoing conversation with myself. You do too. And you wonder, what's it all about? And one of the things this passage of Scripture says, one of the things we did not read, is the most important. Let's read it together. Let's start at verse 13. I will thank you because I am marvelously made. Your works are wonderful, and I know it well. My body was not hidden from you while I was being made in secret and woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my limbs, yet unfinished in the womb. All of them were written in your book. They were fashioned day by day, when as yet there was none of them. How deep I find your thoughts, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more in number than the sand. To count them all, my lifespan would need to be like yours. We can stop there. What does this passage tell us? Well, for one thing, it tells us that God knows who we are. He's known it from the very moment we were conceived. Indeed, what this passage says proposes a mystery. It's a mystery that Christians have, and Jews for that matter, have contemplated seriously all through the centuries. If God knows everything and God knows us, then God knows what we will become, does he not? And that takes away from us all responsibility. This is called predestination. It takes away from us all responsibility for having to make any choices. Well, that's not quite right. God stands outside of time, and so in a way we can never grasp. He does know everything. He sees everything whole. He sees it entire. And yet we live within time, and every moment we have decisions to make, things to do, things we leave undone, worries and anxieties and concerns and guilts and regrets and joys and dreams and hopes. And these are the things that make our lives what they are. We're not relieved of any responsibility because God is God. But maybe one thing will help us if we grasp just what the great miracle of life is. That's what the psalmist is talking about. Your thoughts are much deeper than my thoughts. They can ever be, but I give thanks for them. I'm struck. I'm in a sense of awe and wonder when I consider you, O God. Let's think about that for a moment. How does that make a difference to us? I love to talk about the greatest miracle of all. Now, we've just come through Christmas, and pretty soon we'll get to Easter. When I was a kid, I thought the greatest miracle of all was neither the virgin birth nor the resurrection from the dead, but how the baby could grow up in 3 or 4 months and die on the cross. That was the greatest miracle of all. Some people seem to think that all of those miracle stories in the Bible are just that. They're miracle tales. They're legends. Even some prominent Christian writers, even some Episcopal bishops have spent a career trying to debunk them. Because we are educated people, sophisticated people, we are not like those simpletons who lived back 2,000 years ago. Or tribal people who still live today and believe all that stuff. We can't believe it. We can't get our minds around that. I think that's just a bunch of bunk. Consider this. If there is a God who created this universe with all of its billions and billions of galaxies, as Carl Sagan used to say, do you think it would be a problem for him to bring one little baby into the world? Huh? So much for the virgin birth. Is that irrational to believe that God could bring one child into the world under special circumstances? I don't think it's irrational if there's a God who created this universe. And do you think that if there's a God who brought life out of nothing, it would be a big problem for him to give it back to one he loved? So much for the resurrection. I don't think that's inherently irrational, do you? Do you think that this God who could bring life out of nothing couldn't recreate it, couldn't resurrect it? I don't think it's a big deal for him. So I don't think these are the two greatest miracles. They're miracles, and I believe in them. But I don't think they're irrational. And I think on reflection, they're not so startling. But here's the greatest miracle of all. If there is a God who created this universe, how could he know, let alone care, that you and I exist? How could he know that? Yet the psalmist says precisely that. While I was yet unformed, you knew me. You beheld the process by which my limbs took shape. Jesus said, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Now, that becomes an easier prospect for God for some of us day by day. Not so many to count anymore. But God is a God of details. Every snowflake is different, and we saw more than our share this past week. And yet the wonder of it is that every one of them is different. Each of us is different. And yet we all bear this in common. Not one of us was a mistake. Your life is not an accident. You were created for a purpose. Your purpose was to know God and to love Him. That's what we hear from the prophet this morning. No longer will people have to say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. I will write my law on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people. That's not somebody else. That's you and me. And we were made not only to know God in this life, but to share life with Him forever. Can you imagine that? You may be a stranger to yourself, but God knows you so well, and He loves you even so, and He wants you to share eternity with Him. He wants you not just to go to a nice place with pearly gates and golden streets, but to enter into His life, to behold His creation, to take your part in His joyous work of life-giving, and to enjoy it as He enjoys it. To see it whole, to see the part of life you, specifically, were put here to play. I may be a mystery to myself, but that's good news, as I said earlier. St. Paul says, your life lies hid with Christ in God. It doesn't lie in here. It's not up to you to find out all about who you are to be now. That's not his promise. If my life lies hid with Christ, the only way I'll ever find out who I really am and come home is when I surrender to him. When I give him my life. When he brings me home. And this, brothers and sisters, is why you were created. Each and every one of us, from the weakest to the strongest, from the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest. If I believe this, then I am freed, am I not, from anxiety. I know where I'm bound. The only question is, what do I do from day to day? And Paul says it beautifully in this epistle. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the God's mercies, to offer yourself as living sacrifices. A living sacrifice. Think of your life that way. I begin by asking every morning what the Lord wants me to do. I take him seriously in the decisions I make. I thank him daily for the life I live and for the lives with which I am privileged to live it. And I seek always his highest and his best. And at the end of the day, when I come to say my prayers, it need not be any more complicated than this. Forgive me for what I've left undone. Renew me for life tomorrow. And draw me to yourself. You were made for God. That's what this message is about. That's what this psalm is about. That's what the gospel is about. You were made for God. And when you come home, when you lay down your burdens, for the Lord wants to take them, then he will give you his life and draw you to himself. What is confirmation all about? It's about renewing our promises we made when we were baptized. He's saying, I'm ready to take God seriously. I'm ready to read the scriptures, even if a bit, every day. I'm ready to say my prayers and be a part of the community. I'm ready to witness to the goodness of God and trust him. And I'm willing to bring others to know him and to serve him. So let's be serious about what this day is all about. And let's renew ourselves, each and every one of us, not just the confirmands, the promises we've made. For if we keep our promises, God keeps his. Amen.